Saturday morning to everybody. Welcome to the Catholic Cemeteries Association radio show, along with Chris Radlitz, Director of Family Services for the CCA. I'm Gary Byron. Well, Chris, nice to see you there, my friend.
Good to see you, Gary. Nice to be seen.
Oh, isn't it? It's always nice to be seen.
It's always good to be seen, especially in the business I'm in.
Hey, now.
Yay.
Hey, we're all
ba-dum-bum. Okay.
How's your week?
Good. Very good.
Yeah.
Busy.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah. Always a lot going on.
What's a typical day for you? Actually, I asked you that question once a while back, and what I learned is that no 2 days are really the same for you.
No, they're not. And the only day that is always the same is Tuesday mornings, because we have our management meeting at 9 o'clock in the morning. So from 9 to 11, you know, that's pretty much the same. Because that's but that's only on Tuesdays. After that, it's a toss up. No matter what I plan, no matter what I try to get done, there's other things that pop up. There's so much always going on that there's a lot of things that need to be handled.
How much time do you spend on the road?
When you say on the road, do you mean driving?
Just because there's 30 Catholic Cemetery Associations in Connecticut, and I'm sure you've been to all and go.
Oh yeah,
to all of them.
Oh yeah,
you can't go to all in one day. But
no.
Are you at least hitting one per week? Every other week or something? Or
one cemetery?
Are you at least?
I hit at least 3-4 a day, depending on what's going on.
Okay, so every 2 weeks you're at a different, you know.
You've cycled through.
Thank you.
Again, it just depends on what's necessary, what's needed at the time. Like, for instance, we're opening up new sections in a new columbarium area in Calvary Cemetery in Waterbury. So I've been there a number of times, you know, in the last 2 weeks, because I'm watching to see how everything's being taken care of, making sure that the measurements are done correctly, making sure that everything's, you know, ready to go.
Makes sense.
So that when the actual columbariums show up, you know, they'll be placed properly and everything's done. So, yeah. Then there may be a new area that we're going to be developing something else in another cemetery where I'll have to go out 2, 3, 4 times in a week or in a period of 2 weeks, because I want to spend some time there picking out areas that maybe we need to do some excavations and bring in some tree clearing equipment, et cetera. So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot that goes on. And then there's the needs of the family service advisors. You know, sometimes each of them has got very specific things that they need help with. They'll need me to be part of meetings with families, because sometimes families come up with some pretty interesting, you know, scenarios and questions. I get involved with them on a regular basis. I'm on the phone with them almost all day.
All right, now I'm going to have...
So it's really busy.
Now I got a question. I don't know if you're going to answer it or not.
Yeah, I know. I see the smile on your face. Gird your loins, buddy. Here it comes. Go ahead.
Do you have a favorite? Do you have one that you just love going to?
Cemetery?
Yes.
No.
Really?
No.
Okay.
Easy answer.
Yeah, I don't see how you not. You know.
Well, I'll tell you why. A lot of it has to do, I guess, with how you are as a person. I don't have a finite set of standards in my head as to what a cemetery is always going to be. I look at a cemetery as, look at what this place has to offer. In this cemetery, there's a gorgeous view because it's on a mountaintop and it overlooks the city. In this cemetery, it's such a perfectly flat piece of land that you can see forever, you know, off in the distance, because there's nothing that's rising up or coming down that's in your way. The way it's nestled within, you know, different land features. There's so many different things. Some of the statues that are present in some cemeteries really just ignite my passion about, you know, the faith, and I find those to be very attractive, yet other cemeteries that have other things of great beauty don't have the same thing. So I don't have any one cemetery.
Okay.
You know, I just think that, and I guess part of the reason is that we really work hard to do such a good job of trying to make all of our cemeteries look good, that I feel happy going to just about any one of them.
You say, well, there's 30 in the Catholic Cemeteries Association. When was the last one obtained? And when will the next one be obtained?
So when was the last one obtained? You know, that's a good question. I don't know the last time a cemetery became part of the CCA. I know that there's a move afoot, and this is common to what's happened in many other dioceses, where parish-owned cemeteries, because in the state of Connecticut, there's 56 churches that have their own cemeteries, okay, which, you know, very common. I mean, especially in New England, local church, local cemetery, right? Uh-huh. So I know there's been a lot of talk about bringing all of those under the umbrella of the Catholic Cemeteries Association.
Well, they'd have to approve that, right?
Who?
The individual church.
No. The Archbishop says so, and that's
that'll
be how it is. But there's a lot to it. I mean, there's so much. It'll be years before anything like that happens, if it does. And there's nothing saying that it will.
What would provoke him to mandate that?
Just the ability to manage it properly, okay. The finances that are required.
Makes sense.
Listen, you know, parish priests are not cemeterians. And one of the things I learned about coming into this business was that the cemetery business is very complicated. And there's a lot of things that you have to be aware of that, as a parish priest, you have no knowledge. You have no means of education that anybody's ever taught you this. So it's almost like leave it to the experts. So I think that's kind of where different dioceses have been heading. And they'll either make it as part of the Catholic Cemeteries Association, or they'll create the Catholic Parish Cemetery Association, you know, and put them all under one umbrella so that they get kind of the same benefits that you would have as if you were part of the CCA. Remember, if you have a parish cemetery, are you going to have a full-time guy with a backhoe who's available to do, you know, digging graves?
You'd need that, wouldn't you?
Well, you'd have to have somebody, right? So it's not that – it's not that easy. It's pretty complicated.
Is there a Catholic Cemeteries Association in every state?
Not every, but most.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, in areas that are populated heavily by Catholics. I mean, I spent a lot of time in Alabama, and they don't have one because they don't have any Catholic cemeteries. They don't have very many Catholics. Because down there, obviously, mostly it's Baptists. Most places where there are a fairly robust number of Catholics, there will be a Catholic Cemeteries Association.
Before we get into today's show, and it's going to be one of my favorites, I love this topic, I just wanted to kind of get through some housekeeping. I want to talk about some Dignity of Life seminars, but before we do that, you've got a special, and I really want to make sure that you get into this, because there's only a couple of weeks left for this, right? It ends on the 31st of
this month.
Ends on
the 31st,
so
right.
So go into detail.
Yeah, so if you purchase a mausoleum crypt, you'll get $500 off the price. If you purchase a tandem or a double, you get $1,000.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, we've talked about every week during this month that that's never been done before. So that's hopefully a nice incentive to help people should they feel that it's the right time to do pre-planning. Also, we are very blessed that on November 2nd, Archbishop Blair will be doing the All Souls Day Mass at All Saints Cemetery in North Haven. And that's going to be at 10 a.m. So it's a big deal because for us, it's going to be the last time Archbishop Blair will do that mass because he's retiring in April. And we also have a couple of DOLs left. So Wednesday, October 18th at that's already been passed. We're done with DOLs.
Oh.
That's it.
Well, okay.
That's right.
Then. Guess
the DOLs are finished for
the
season.
That's right. Today's the 21st. They're done for these. You said for the season. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, it's that time of year.
So we'll start again next year.
Okay.
Because we always take a break because of the holidays and everything that people are doing.
All right. So today we're going to discuss angels and archangels. Last month, September 29th, was the feast day of the archangel.
So, as well as my granddaughter's birthday.
Oh, well, happy belated birthday to your granddaughter.
Thank you.
All right, so what are angels in pertaining specifically to Catholic theology?
Well, in the Catholic Church, angels are spiritual beings that were created by God, and they're purely spiritual. They're non-corporeal creatures. They have no bodies. They are pure spirit. They have intellect, and they have free will. Angels historically have served as messengers and servants of God, carrying out his divine will and assisting humans, which is kind of interesting, assisting humans in various ways. Because they are purely spiritual beings without physical bodies, they have both a spiritual and a physical nature. They are immortal. They don't experience death or decay. and we're humans are mortal, and one day we'll die. They are non-gender specific. They're genderless because, quite frankly, spirits go beyond the human notion of what gender is. And they don't reproduce as humans do because they're individually created by God. So, in essence, that's what angels are.
So they don't walk among us. There's nobody that looks like Roma Downey or Michael Landon. That's just walking amongst us.
Well, there's nothing to say that they cannot take on that if God wills it.
Okay.
There's no reason to think. But if you talk about the pure meaning of an angel, they are purely spiritual without physical bodies.
Well, that's
why. Mean that they can't acquire one because God wills it? Yeah, sure they can.
Or Clarence in what was that? And what? It's a Wonderful Life. Remember?
Never saw the movie.
You never did? Are never you kidding me?
Everybody always gives me a look like I've got three heads.
That's
when I
my
say
favorite
that.
Christmas movie of all time.
I've never seen the movie.
Oh.
Jimmy Stewart, right?
Jimmy Stewart, Donna Reed, yes.
Yeah.
But
one of these days, I'll sit down and watch it.
Oh! Well, we'll talk about it as we get closer to Christmas. What's the hierarchy of angels in the Catholic Church?
So I'm going to tell you, okay, I'm going to say a quick prayer, and that'll give you some ideas, okay?
Okay.
Pray to the cherubim and seraphim who praise and worship God, thrones and dominions who regulate angelic duties, virtues who perform miracles on earth, powers which protect us from all demons, principalities, angels, and archangels who guard and direct us here on earth. Okay?
Look at that.
So that tells you.
And by the way, folks, for you playing along at home, he was not reading that off of anything.
No,
that's
the prayer I say every night.
There you go.
Every night. So the Catholic Church teaches us that angels are organized into a hierarchy, and there's different orders, what they call choirs. You know, the choir of angels, mm-hmm. right? Traditionally, they're ordered into three spheres, okay? In the first sphere, you have the seraphim and the cherubim. And these are, seraphim are the highest order of angels, and they're often associated with intense love and the direct presence of God. So if you're a seraphim, you're at the top of the angels' ranking. Okay? So it's funny because when you look at the human depiction of the seraphim and cherubim, you know, they're these cute little baby type angels with tiny little
I've seen, of course, nothing like that at all. Yeah.
These are big, imposing creatures that are always at the presence of God. They are the most intense prayerful creatures ever created. Okay?
Wow, good figure.
The next level would be the cherubim, and they're known for their wisdom and knowledge, and they're often depicted as guardians of a sacred place.
Guardian angel.
Yeah. So then you have the second sphere, which
So they really are guardian angels then?
Yes, they are. They really are.
I always thought like it was a former family member looking out after you.
Well, okay. No, they're not. Okay. You have an angel that is a guardian angel that is assigned to you at the moment of your conception.
Well, I wish mine would get a little more on the ball and help me stop making all the goof-ups that I make in my life.
How often do you pray to them and ask for that?
Good point.
Okay. We'll move on. So, in the second sphere, you have the thrones. Thrones, which you think are like a seat, but no, they are a category of angels. Thrones are associated with God's divine justice and authority. Okay? Then you have dominions. Now, they're believed to oversee the lower choirs of angels and are associated with the regulation of angelic duties, if you remember the prayer. Okay, uh-huh. That's what I said. In the third sphere, you have the virtues. Virtues are known for their grace, courage, and they're responsible for maintaining order in the universe. Uh-huh. Okay, then you have powers, and they're often seen as the warriors who combat evil and protect the faithful. And the prayer tells you powers which defend against all evil. Then you have the principalities, angels, and archangels. Their role is governance of regions on earth and interacting with humans. So archangels are a distinct category. They're often considered the messengers of God with very specific tasks. We know, of course, in the Bible, we talk about three archangels, right? Michael, Gabriel, and Raphael. So in the Bible, those are the three that are the most well-known.
I was going to ask you, who are the archangels? So I guess you've kind of answered that question.
Kind of. So the archangel Michael is depicted as the warrior angel.
Okay.
He's kind of considered as the leader of the heavenly armies. He's known for his role in defeating Satan and casting him out of heaven during the big schism that occurred. He was the guy that said, you, get out, along with all your minions. Michael is the protector of the church on earth and is invoked for spiritual protection and guidance. His feast day, of course, September 29th, is along with all the others. Gabriel is the messenger angel. Okay, so Gabriel delivers important messages from God in the Bible. He's the one that announced the birth of John the Baptist and the birth of Jesus to his parents, okay, that Jesus was coming.
The angel Gabriel. There's a right. song, yeah, Christmas song.
He played a significant role in the Annunciation, where he informed, you know, the Blessed Mother of her divine motherhood. Raphael is based with healing, and he's mentioned only in the book of Tobit in the Old Testament, where he guides and heals Tobit's son, Tobias. He is often invoked for physical and spiritual healing. So people pray a lot to, you know, the archangel Raphael. What's interesting is those are the ones that most people know about, but there's a few others that most people never hear about. And I won't go into the detail of each and every one of them, but there are 9 archangels that are part of the heavenly chorus. Michael, Gabriel, Raphael, Uriel, Sariel, Raguel, and Remiel. 7 of them, sorry. Mm. So those are the ones that are the others. Uriel kind of makes a cameo appearance in the Bible at one point, but if you're not paying attention, you miss it. Okay? So that's who the angels are.
I got to start praying to the cherubs and the
archangels. The cherubim and the seraphim.
That's right. I've just been praying to Jesus Christ, our Lord above.
Yeah, and that's a good thing, and that's a great place to be. And if that's who you're praying to, then that's okay. But we like to take it a little step further in my house, so.
I guess so. Folks, you are listening to the Catholic Cemeteries Association radio show, along with Chris Radlitz, Director of Family Services. I'm Gary Byron. You can head on over to their website. Very easy to go to. It's simple. Just write this down. www.ccacem.org or call them toll free. 800-505-0050. I'll repeat both of those points of contact more towards the end of the show. And I'll tell you what, I'll throw in a free email address. How about that? Chris, you said that there was one that's kind of mentioned in the Bible that you got to pay attention to, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, where are the angels mentioned in the Bible?
So there's a lot of places in the Old Testament and the New Testament where angels are mentioned. The named angels are primarily in the New Testament. So even when you go all the way back to the beginning in Genesis, the angel of the Lord appears to Hagar in the wilderness, okay? Angels visit Abraham and Sarah, foretelling the birth of their son Isaac. Remember, and God says to Abram, take your son to the mountain and sacrifice him to me, and he's ready to do it.
Yeah.
And then he stops him and he says, hey, you're really a faithful guy. Don't worry, Isaac's going to be great. Angels rescue Lot and his family from the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. God promises to send an angel to guide the Israelites through the wilderness during Exodus. In the Numbers, an angel confronts Balaam on his way to curse the Israelites. In Daniel, an angel protects Daniel in the lion's den from getting, you know, torn to shreds. And there's others. In the New Testament, the book of Matthew has quite a few references to angels, because an angel appears to Joseph in a dream, instructing him to take Mary as his wife. Okay. She's a good person, you know, it's the divine will of God that she is with child, etc. An angel warns Joseph in a dream to flee to Egypt with Mary because of Herod's going to be doing the whole getting rid of any babies under 2, right?
Mm-hmm.
In Matthew also, angels minister to Jesus after his temptation in the wilderness. You remember that passage where a host of angels came after he gets rid of Satan? After the temptations that Satan places in front of him and he gets rid of him, angels come to minister to him, to help him after all of what he's been through.
Not sure I remember that story.
Yeah.
Okay.
Next time you read it, it's Matthew chapter 4, verse 11. In Luke, the angel Gabriel appears to Zechariah in the temple announcing the birth of John the Baptist.
Mm-hmm.
That's when he also struck him dumb because he wouldn't pay attention. So angels have some powers. The angel Gabriel visits Mary, informing her of the miraculous conception of Jesus. In Luke, again, angels announce the birth of Jesus to shepherds in Bethlehem, singing glory to God in the highest, that whole thing, remember?
He stores people on earth.
Right. That's when they were, the star was in the sky. Matthew, again, angels are present at Jesus' empty tomb, announcing his resurrection to the women. Remember when Mary Magdalene was there and they open up the tomb and it's empty? And the angel is standing there saying,
who
are you looking for? Yeah. Did you know that Jesus is risen? And in Acts, an angel helps Peter escape from prison once, even though he gets imprisoned a number of times. One time an angel came and helped him get out because he was supposed to be killed the next day, and evidently it wasn't in God's will for that to happen. So there's a lot of mentions of angels in the Bible, and that's not surprising since they are pretty much holy creatures. I get a kick out of hearing about angels being mentioned as just purely in the sectarian view of things.
Wings.
Well, here's the thing. Now,
harps,
here's something I'm going to tell
halos.
You. And this is not because I've had the personal experience. I wish I would have, but I have never had this experience. There are people who have been blessed with the experience of seeing angels.
Really?
And that's why I tell you, angels are not these diminutive, little, winged, fluttering, happy-go-lucky creatures. These are big, serious folk. These are the kind of guys that you would be terrified of if you ran across on the street. Okay? They are huge. And they are something to be, they are a force to be reckoned with.
All right. So then how does belief in angels impact our life as Catholics?
How does belief in angels impact our life as Catholics?
Yeah.
Well, okay. Let's think about that. If we know that angels are created by God, and we know that there's like these nine different levels of angels that we talked about.
As you've mentioned, yeah.
And all of those angels at different levels have different jobs and responsibilities. Mm-hmm. You have the whole principalities, angels, and archangels that are geared towards the regulation and help of people on earth. Okay? So belief in angels should impact our lives in a fairly profound way. And, well, the biggest, you mentioned it, do we have personal angels, what did you call them?
Oh, your guardian angel.
Guardian, thank you. Yeah. Age, it's a terrible thing. Anyway, guardian angels, right? So we rely on guardian angels for spiritual guidance. These angels can provide spiritual guidance and assistance in our daily lives. People pray to their guardian angels for guidance, protection, and insight in making important decisions. That's why when you said, well, why is my angel not stepping up? Well, when's the last time you talked to them and asked them to step up?
Okay? I never knew you could.
Yeah, well, of course you can. We're Catholics, man. We can pray to anything almost, You know that. But
see?
The reality, I know that the Protestants would be like, oh, see, I told you, heresy. No. Again, for us, everything deals with asking those for intercession to help on our behalf. Okay? They're the ones closer to God. You pray to the cherubim and seraphim who praise and worship God. You kind of hope that they're going to step up and say, hey, this guy, he's okay. Give him a little help. Try and help him out.
But can't you just ask Jesus that?
Of course you can.
Go right to the main man.
Of course you can. So let's say that you're the guy who runs this radio station. You want a new studio. So you go to the guy and say, I want a new studio because the one I've got is too old, too decrepit, needs to be rebuilt. He's going to look at you and go, yeah, okay. But now you have seven or eight other guys that you've convinced who are closer to him, higher up on the food chain than you, and they go to him and say, hey, you know what? This guy Gary could use a new studio. The old one's kind of decrepit, it's falling apart, needs equipment, blah, blah, blah. What's going to have more impact? You talking to him by yourself or having seven or eight others also on your behalf going up and talking about it? Tell me.
You're right. All of us collectively. Strength in numbers.
I mean, it just seems like that would make sense.
Yeah.
So that's our viewpoint. That's the Catholic viewpoint. We try and get as many people praying for us as we can to get, hopefully that which is in God's will for
Matthew
us to
7:15, right?
Matthew 7:15. When you talk about... Okay, so now you're Jimmy J is showing me something here.
Oh, okay. Jimmy D, by the way, our producer. He's He keeps the
I'm
show
sorry,
on.
But I don't know what that means. Beware of false prophets, but that's, well, that's true. Okay. That's something that we have to be careful of in every aspect of our lives.
False,
not just
false prophets.
Not just talking about, that's a whole nother show. That's okay. Something that we should actually talk about someday. So we talk about spiritual guidance, in particular like guardian angels. Protection and comfort. Belief in guardian angels can bring great comfort and a sense of security.
Sure.
Now, how many times when something happens, it just happened to me this morning. I'm driving here, okay? I'm on Route 84. The car next to me smashes into the car in front of it.
Oh, really?
The airbag blows. And I just go, thank you, guardian angel, that guy didn't swerve over and hit
sure.
me. Why did I say that?
See, I'd be saying, thank you, Lord.
Right. Well, see, I thank you, guardian angel. Thank you, Jesus. Because you know what? That's right.
Well, Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah.
That's how I feel. Now, and again, the last major thing is the intercession. We ask for intercession in many different ways. Also, angels are a reminder of God's presence. The more we think and talk about angels, the more we think about God, because they are God's creatures. They give us courage. They give us hope. They help us, inspire us to live virtuous lives, because if you think about it, angels are always depicted as very virtuous beings. It helps us understand the supernatural. That's a big point. Angels are not something that people can put their hands on. It's not something you can touch and say, oh, yeah, okay, I see you. You're an angel. Mm. Yeah, I mean, people may have called you an angel because of the good that you've done, but you're really not one of those that have been, you know, created by God.
And there are angels among us. And
they
are. They're not all playing,
in a lot of different
they're not
ways.
All playing ball out in Anaheim, neither.
No.
Folks,
listen to him.
If you'd
nice
like...
Nice segue.
Thank you. If you'd like more information on this or any of the other topics that we discuss here on this show, simply head on over to the Catholic Cemeteries Association website. It is www.ccacem.org. A lot of info there. If you'd like to send an email, maybe you got a question like you'd like to have answered right here on this very show, maybe as even as soon as next Saturday, simply email us at ccawdrc@gmail.com. And of course, you can call the toll-free number for the Catholic Cemeteries Association, 800-505-0050. I'll say it one more time and I'll slow it down. Toll-free, 800-505-0050. For Chris Radlitz, Director of Family Services for the CCA, I'm Gary Byron. Thank you so much for listening to the Catholic Cemeteries Association radio show. Until next Saturday morning, have a good one, everybody. So long.